the TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Brian McClain and Timothy Shea and State of the Nation on today's News Talk TNT.
Here we go. Hour two, State of the Nation. Thank you for being with us for this live broadcast at today's News Talk TNT. You can, of course, find us on the interwebs at TNTRadio.live. I'm just looking at our roster right now. We've had some schedule changes and stuff. And man, it's such a great roster, I just got to say. And welcome once again to Johnny Vedmore and Jason Burmis. Very excited to have both of them on board with all the other great hosts here. And I just want to say thank you to you for watching and helping grow TNT, because as you know, we're on Rumble and, you know, just all the video platforms. We've got an amazing team bringing all this together. We've got, you know, we've got our producer, the wonderful Kimberly. We've got our guys in the studio there helping us out. Big thanks to Jenny for always sending us really cool links to consider putting on the show. Just really appreciate everybody. And of course, Timbo stepping in here at State of the Nation. Wonderful to be with you. It's been an amazing couple weeks of show with you as my co-host, sir.
It really has, Hesh. As I mentioned in our production meeting, I really love doing this with you. I'm glad that you and Kimberly and I are such good friends, because it makes the work easy. We're having fun, even though it's, you know, can be crazy and hectic at times. We're having a lot of fun. I'm excited for Jason joining the network. He and I have been friends for years. We've been on each other's shows over the years and would meet up at Clay Clark conferences and whatnot. And just a great guy, and he's going to be a superb addition to TNT.
Yeah. Just really pleased to be here, you know. And yeah, there was a bit of a shakeup in the last couple of weeks, but you know, for the most part, I really want to just thank all of our colleagues here, our hosts, our co-hosts. You know, everybody here has just been such a professional about everything, and even some of the people that have gone on to, you know, their next thing, have been really nice too. You know, we've maintained a lot of friendships there, and looking forward to have people back on the show who you'll be familiar with if you watch TNT and you've been here with us for this incredible journey. This has been such an incredible journey, and it's all about freedom of speech, you know. It's all about trying to find truth in a world that is just littered, absolutely littered with propaganda. You know, we've seen what happened today in Russia, and we've seen a bunch of propaganda, and here we are trying to figure out, you know, how do we separate fact from fiction, and all of these things that we do, you know, and these things are at stake. And that brings me to this one, Timothy. I got to bring this up. This has been sitting in my notes for a few days here, but we just haven't had time to hit it yet. Out of Canada, proposed Bill C-6 says, quote, "Everyone who commits an offense under this act is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for life," end quote. And as was pointed out by the Highwire X.com account, this is not satire. This is a real life 1984. And it gets worse, because the new bill bribes citizens to snitch on their fellow Canadians. Does this feel familiar yet, Timothy?
Well, yeah, as we saw during COVID, you know, my MAGA Institute partner, Brooke McGowan, was blown in by her next door neighbor because she had the temerity to not wear a mask as she wheeled her dustbin to the curb 30 feet down the driveway and back. That was some sort of threat to health and had to be reported to the police.
Killing grandma.
Just, you know. Look, the reason that we saw this after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the files of the Stasi became publicly known, and it was revealed that the only reason the Stasi was able to keep East Germany under the boot heel of tyranny was because of all of the citizens that were compliant and ratting out their fellow East Germans. This totalitarian impulse is nothing new, and it's not constricted to Germany or to Canada. We've seen bills like this also in Europe, in the United Kingdom, as well as the European Union. We've even had it here, right? Steve Baker has been sent to prison for reporting the news from the Capitol on January 6th. He was legitimately reporting the news, didn't break any windows, didn't push anybody, didn't harm anyone. And yet he's now sitting in jail for reporting the news. And look what they're doing with Julian Assange. Okay, now we're supposed to be all happy that they're considering offering him a plea deal for something that shouldn't be a crime, which is, again, reporting the news. What we do here is incredibly valuable. And at the risk of sounding like I'm tooting our own horn, Hesher, you know, I talked to you earlier about this. I've got a friend that consistently sends me links to major news shows on major networks, and everybody would know which they are. And I laugh and I said, you really need to start watching our show. We reported on this 2 days ago, last week, 3 weeks ago. We're consistently ahead of the curve here because we're digging and looking for information, not only that the big networks don't want to find, they don't want you to find. And that's why we feel very privileged here at Today's News Talk to have the freedom to give you the news that you need in order to make rational decisions in your life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we do it through a lens that you won't find elsewhere. You know, you'll find it in individuals. You may find it in your social media feeds, you know, that spark that we have here. But we have this machine that moves 24/7 over here. And we never go home. We don't. With TNT, we don't go home because we're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time, like we're doing today. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally, no matter what, no matter how many stupid bills you globalist turds are going to pass. We'll be here to have you covered on Today's News Talk, TNT.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Wow. Okay, Timothy. Well, you know, there's a lot going on this week, as we know. I wanted to point this one out, though. We've got our friend Mike Netter. He did this great tweet the other day on X, and it's called Bidenomics 101. Did you happen to catch this? I'd love to read it.
I did catch it. I love
this. Great.
I love Mike Netter.
Mike Netter is a gem among jewels for sure. I saw him on Jason Burmes' show, and I was grilled to the screen, just as I am when he's here with us on State of the Nation. He wrote, Walmart's closing 23 stores in 8 states, all blue. Target is closing 9 stores in 4 states, all blue. Walgreens is closing 900 stores, mostly blue. Bed Bath & Beyond is closing its remaining 360 stores. Who would have thunk? I would have laughed at you if you would have told me that was going to happen 10 years ago. Lowe's has closed 50 stores. Macy's closing 150 more stores, and that started a long time ago. Starbucks closed 61 stores, mainly in blue states. Home Depot, 15. Dollar Tree closing 1,000 stores. We got a lot of Dollar Trees here. Foot Locker, 400 stores. I could go on and on and on. This is a long list, but he closes with Capital One closing 50 stores, Wells Fargo closing 60 branches, U.S. Bank closing 23 branches, Bank of America closing 20 branches. You might be closing down your bank account because you're out of money, all because the economy is so wonderful under Bidenomics.
Oh, it's just been the greatest success in history. And so it's such a presidential president. Just yes. Phenomenal. Oh, yeah. So great for the country. We've got two overlapping things here, and one is actually kind of distracting from the other. The first is that online commerce, people have moved to online commerce. So stores like Macy's and other brick and mortar stores have been replaced by, quite frankly, Amazon. With their return policy, people are more comfortable now buying clothes, buying shoes, and certainly buying accessories online, getting a better price that way, getting it shipped right to their house. They don't have to drive to the mall, worried about a parking spot, walk 17 hours to get into the mall, and then trying to find the store they want and all of that hassle. They can simply, you know, it was like the old days shopping by catalog. Well, now people can shop on their phones and get what they want delivered oftentimes the next day. And if they don't like it or it doesn't fit, they can send it back with the return policy. So that's one major thing. That's covering a lot of the stores. But the really nefarious, insidious, I don't know what the right word is, but the really, I'll tell you what the right word is. The right word is unfortunate. Unfortunate for the people that are impacted, because what's happening is these stores in high crime areas are closing. And what are the high crime areas? Democrat-run cities. And unfortunately, the people that are economically trapped in those Democrat-run cities, people that can't just up and move to Texas, for example, or if they're in Houston, Dallas, or Austin, move out of those cities, they're trapped there. And they're trapped with Democrat leadership that refuses to give the police the tools that they need to enforce the law, district attorneys that have no desire to lock criminals up, but rather want to release criminals to somehow virtue signal their moral superiority to the rest of us. And the poor people that are victimized are the people without a Walgreens, without a Walmart, et cetera, because a lot of people forget that Walmart is the number two grocery chain in America. And it's these people will then complain, Democrat politicians will then complain that corporate America has created food deserts and pharmacy deserts and everything else. It's like, no, corporate America is not responsible for that. You and your policies are. So to an extent, the people being victimized are responsible as well because they keep pulling that D lever. And that, I think, Brian, is a big reason why people are waking up and realize that D doesn't mean they have your back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and people, you're right. People are moving to relying on gig culture and gig economy to get a lot of their things and internet economy. And that's completely understandable. You know, I can relate to a lot of that. But to think that that's going to be the saving grace when it's no longer safe to be outside your house after 6 p.m., I got news for you. It's not going to be safe for the gig workers to be bringing you your Instacart, your Uber Eats, you know, and all this stuff at the same time. So it's like that may be a short-term fix for some people as things get worse. But if they continue down this trajectory, well, those things are going to fall apart too.
They are. And unfortunately, now it's not even safe to leave your house, even for a short period of time, because if you come back, you might find yourself not able to live in your house anymore, right?
Or murdered in your home by, you know, illegal alien thugs who've been squatting in it and then stuffed in a duffel bag for one of your kids to find.
Yeah, that poor woman in Arizona, her son found her stuffed in a duffel bag, found her corpse stuffed in a duffel bag underneath her coat. It had been pushed in a closet, murdered by two illegal aliens that were squatting in her apartment. She came home and found them, and they murdered her and left her in a duffel bag. Just absolutely horrific. But even more horrific than that, in New York City, four people dismembered a corpse and distributed the parts in various places. And the DA found that that was not a bail eligible crime. So there was no bail, no cash bail. You can hack up a corpse and dismember a corpse and distribute the parts in various locations, and you're not even going to get bail in New York City anymore. This was so bad. This story was so bad that one of the hardcore leftists on the Young Turks said, if this is leftist, I'm not a leftist anymore. And of course, Cenk Uygur, the hardcore Never Trumper leftist, said, well, no, you don't mean that. And she goes, yes, I do. This is wrong.
I love it. Existential problems at the Young Turks. Yeah, I could see how that's going to seep in when we see stories like this. I mean, you know, Son of Sam would blush for times like these. Oh. You know, he could have just, you know, continued his operation. Like, where's this headed? I mean, are we inviting the 21st century Jack the Rippers of the world to the United States? Like, it's already bad enough. You could come here, you can squat. You can come here and get free money, free cell phone. You could be an influencer. You could carry a gun. You know, you can hold office in the city of San Francisco or other places. Saw another election out of Michigan where someone was elected that was, I think they were a Somalian community.
No, it was in Ohio.
Ohio, okay,
yeah. Ohio's third district, yeah.
Right? Yeah, so let's invite the Jack the Rippers of the world. Let's invite the Artesana Assassinos of the world, you know, that they'll cut hearts out and put them under the Baphomet statue, you know, out in front of City Hall. How's that sound, everybody?
He literally campaigned in Swahili, not in English. And he won last Tuesday in Ohio.
Right.
And it's like, getting that bad. And, you know, the Me Too movement exposed the corruption in Hollywood with regard to how women are treated. But very disturbing information came out this week with the tales of two men that work for Nickelodeon. You know, Nickelodeon, yeah. That child-friendly network. And, you know, and a friend of mine said, oh, yeah, I turned Nickelodeon in my house off when there was one show. Her son is very big into science, and I can't remember the name of the show, Chucky Buckets or something like that. It was basically about a young science nerd, I guess. And in the show, she described this to me. I said, you got to be kidding me. And she goes, oh, no. And showed me the clip. In the show, they had young boys, right, 8, 9, 10 years old, wrestling in their underwear in a prison while inmates stood on the second story, the balcony, eating mayonnaise sandwiches. And I said, yeah. You're kidding with the mayonnaise sandwiches, right? And she says, oh, no. Oh, no. And they made it very obvious that they were eating mayonnaise sandwiches. And she said the pedophilia was right out there on the TV for all to
did
see.
Did you see the Ariana Grande footage, licking potatoes and dumping water on her face? And like that guy, I don't have his name in front of me, but that creepy dude, he would go to all of the costume things and all of the casting things. Like he would be a constant presence in places like this. There are some really sick rabbit holes that you can go down right now on this topic, on social media, on TikTok in particular. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, the government's trying to block it. Well, maybe there's some information worth knowing that is trending out there.
And, you know, I know an awful lot of people with good hearts that are, most of them are idealistic and they believe the Democrat BS, that Democrats care about people and, you know, all the nonsense that we all know. But they draw a bright line at attacking the children. And all of this, the sexualization of young children in school, the tranny story hours at public libraries, all of this pedophilic, baphometic, demonic attack on our children is turning an awful lot of people that thought that they were Democrats away from the Democrat Party. They're not necessarily going to become Republicans, but a lot of these people are going to stop voting Democrat.
Yes, indeed. Timothy, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk with Steve Cohen right here on State of the Nation at today's News Talk TNT.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his final rival, the former United Nations ambassador, Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
It sounds pretty good.
It sounds real,
it's
dude.
Not bad, huh?
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The 4th of July fireworks in Washington, D.C. lit off early this year as two former business associates of Hunter Biden testified publicly on Capitol Hill Wednesday as congressional Republicans pushed forward with their impeachment inquiry against President Biden. This testimony led to several tense and revealing exchanges. One of Hunter's erstwhile business partners, U.S. Navy veteran Tony Bobulinski, testified before the House Oversight Committee that Hunter Biden lied under oath while speaking to lawmakers earlier this year about his father's involvement in Hunter's business dealings. Joining us now to give us his thoughts on this hearing is America's longest-serving television news director and the author of the new book, 50 Years in a Newsroom, A Eulogy. I'd like to welcome back to State of the Nation, Steve Cohen.
How are you? Good to see you both.
Hi, Steve.
Great to see you, Steve. So this was a very interesting testimony.
Yeah, let's just dive in. I think first one of the things we have to underline is that mainstream media did not take a liking to this hearing. It was basically all you could do to find it. I found it on Newsmax, where they covered it in its entirety with commentary, and then that led me to read his actual statements. And just to go over what he said, because mainstream media so clearly missed it, Bob Alinsky, who you identified as a Navy veteran, said this. He said, "They were all liars. Joe Biden was a serial liar and a fabulist. His brother can't keep things straight. And Hunter was committing egregious perjury." Now, you can't say that, as both of you know, in front of a congressional oversight committee and get away with it unless it's true. Right? Otherwise, you've perjured yourself. So I think that's the beginning of the dialogue that Timothy and Bryant, we should have here, is if Hunter Biden was lying and Mr. Bob Alinsky is telling the truth, does that not lead to an impeachment?
Right. Well, it needs to.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely, it should. Could you imagine if the shoe was turned here and we were talking about the Trump family, during his administration or even a few years from now? I mean, they went after him for every little thing. And it's like, this is huge, absolutely huge.
I mean, perjury alone is a major part of this. But more importantly is the larger issue of the entire Biden family really being, without any question, trying to influence foreign governments without being registered foreign agents. There's this thing called the 1938 Foreign Agents Registry Act, which means that if you're going to represent a foreign agency, a foreign government, you have to register with the federal government under that, or you're violating the law. I don't see how you can say that this is not a clear violation. And you know, when you look at Joe Biden, he was asked directly by Republican congressmen on the committee, what was Biden's role? And he said, without any hesitation, Joe Biden was, quote unquote, the brand, right? He was the brand, which means that he was active, aware, and enabled. Active, aware, and enabled. That's the testimony. And that Joe Biden was the brand. And you just cannot get away from the factual evidence that Bob Alinsky presented. And by the way, the other thing mainstream media did was try to diminish Bob Alinsky as though he was some, you know, bad news, dark op entrepreneur. He's not. He's a gentleman who came out of the Navy, out of intelligence, and developed businesses for himself, including being CEO of a business called Sinohawk, which dealt with China. And that's one of the reasons that Biden was trying to get Bob Alinsky on his side.
And Steve, why I'm concerned for the fate of America is that we not only have a two-tier justice system where, for example, the Foreign Agent Registration Act is applied differently based on who you are. Paul Manafort had to go to prison for violating the FARA Act, and Hunter Biden gets to walk free. Of course, we saw Peter Navarro going to prison for contempt of Congress, while Eric Holder and Hunter Biden, again, walk free. It's not just the two-tier system of justice, though, and how corrupt our federal law enforcement agencies and even our courts in a lot of instances have been corrupted. It's also the incuriosity of our institutions that are supposed to be the most curious, which, as you've highlighted, the mainstream media couldn't have cared less about this. We have a two-tier media environment now also, don't we?
Yeah, and I think that that's very well stated, and I think it's a matter of complicity, is that when you look at mainstream media, whose side are they on? Well, they should be on no one's side. They should be honest brokers, period. And they're clearly not honest brokers, which is shown in this coverage. It's also shown, by the way, if I might, in the Trump coverage of the $454 million bond that the president's trying to raise now, where the coverage is, again, just so totally anti-Trump and avoiding Ruth Bader Ginsburg ruling in 2019, that this is these are excessive fines. And excessive fines is an Eighth Amendment protection against which Donald Trump is not afforded. And mainstream media is not even allowing the discussion of the Eighth Amendment ruling in 2019, which was a case by a guy who had a truck that he stole, a guy named Tibbs. So you just can't look at mainstream media as not being complicit in the generation of what is actually a series. I think you'd have to just, it's not like a series of lies. It's instead an influence. It's an outlook. It's not that anyone's trying to lie to the American public, although I think the Biden family is lying. I think in media's case, it's just that they just don't understand how to get back to the role of being an honest broker. Why? Because the people that run these outfits all have the same, view of the world.
I disagree slightly, but only to the extent that sometimes you can lie by omission, right? And it's the stories that they don't cover that I think are where most of the lies hold. But you mentioned the Eighth Amendment. I just want to read it quickly. It's one of the most beautifully crafted sentences in the history of political thought. It's only 16 words long. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And the Supreme Court, as you mentioned, has applied both the excessive fines and the cruel and unusual punishment prohibitions to the states. They haven't ruled on excessive bail only because they haven't been asked to. I'm sure if they were asked to rule on it, it would apply to the states as well. But the court has ruled that a fine is excessive if it is so grossly excessive as to amount to a deprivation of property without due process of law. Well, here we're talking about Donald Trump potentially having property seized by Attorney General Letitia James with no due process recourse by President Trump in order to satisfy this fine, merely to be able to proceed with his appeal. So I think under the four corners of the Eighth Amendment text itself, this is clearly a violation. We've got more with Steve Cohen after these inbound headlines right here on State of the Nation.
Now, TNT Radio News.
I have huge news.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah! Do it.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Several attackers targeted a concert hall in Moscow, resulting in multiple fatalities and injuries. Germany has committed an additional 300 million euros to a Czech-led effort aimed at purchasing artillery rounds for Ukraine, as reported by Bloomberg. Shareholders of Digital World Acquisition Corporation have approved a merger with former President Donald Trump's Truth Social platform, potentially netting Trump a $3.5 billion windfall.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Steve, I'm curious, building on what we were talking about with regards to the media response or, omissions with regards to this hearing, what does this say about Fox News in particular? I'm curious your thoughts about this, because we know that the majority of the mainstream media is, their bias is to the left, but Fox is ostensibly to the right. So why would they not cover this as heavily as we are here and some other stations out there that are a bit more independent?
I think it's a combination of two things. One, with the departure and death of Roger Ailes, Fox has been streaming centrist. And also they feel that there is a slightly right of center audience, but basically they're a centrist network now. The reason for that is audience. I don't think it's ideology as much as it is audience. The people that they have on the air now, particularly in primetime, are basically, interesting young conservatives, filled with sarcasm and humor. And I think that that's not what Fox used to be. I don't find all this funny. I think that sarcasm and humor has its place in a comedy club, but not necessarily on a broadcast network, which a lot of us relied on for getting the other voice. Now, I think I would not include Sean Hannity or Brett Baer in that comment. I'm really talking about the Gutfelds and the Jesse Waters and all the Fivers and all the other comedic political satire that they have. I think political satire has a place, but I'm not sure that a television network is the place for the satire or to be overwhelmed by satire. And I do think when you look at MSNBC, you see the same thing, even more. More so there you see a level of, I mean, it's just outright vitriolic sarcasm when you look at Morning Joe, for instance. You know, and as a consumer, I think it's very hard, as Timothy was saying, where do you find the truth? And you have to, I think, become a student on your own of where the truth may rest and have to go to a variety of sources. That's why I think what you guys are doing at TNT Radio makes so much sense, because at least you can come to that. We know we're going to get a point of view watching both of you, but so what? Your point of view comes from an honest, serious place, not from a comedic stance where you're trying to poke at people and make fun of folks.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, because that is part of what we do. And of course, we use humor and sarcasm, because sometimes that's the only justified response to the ludicrous things that come across the wire. But yeah. We do try to be honest brokers in that regard, and not in reserve those snarky comments for things that deserve our ridicule, right? Sometimes ridicule is the appropriate reaction. And no one has opened themselves up to ridicule more, I think, than Joe Biden. As much as people hate Donald Trump and parody him, I think that was done out of meanness. I think a lot of people genuinely feel sorry for Joe and think that he is being, that I've seen a lot of comments that it constitutes elder abuse, whether it's by his wife or the people that are managing this administration, that he's a puppet that's being used as a figurehead and he's not really in control of this country. And there's a lot to that. And the House Judiciary Committee is trying to get to the bottom of it. They've subpoenaed Joe Biden's ghostwriter, Mark Zwanitzer, and they're trying to see what they can find amidst this classified records investigation where, you know, Donald Trump had records not only under lock and key, but under Secret Service protection. And Joe Biden had them willy-nilly here, there, and everywhere, including in an office that was controlled by an entity that had ties to the Chinese Communist Party.
And also, President Biden had a long history of holding on to classified documents that is not just episodic. It's not just in the recent administrative period. It goes all the way back almost to when he first became a United States Senator. So, I think his feelings about classified documents are pretty clear. I do think that the ghostwriter is going to have some revelations, which the ghostwriter may not even realize are revelations, which have to do with who really is in charge of the mind of Joe Biden. Is it Joe Biden's mind, or is he really, or is his mind really more of a sieve that things go through? Some things stick, some things go. And when you think of the mind of the chief executive of our country, and commander in chief being a mind that is porous rather than a mind where things stick and opinions are made strongly like Donald Trump's mind, I think that's where you get frightened. I mean, I think you're right. We use humor as a way to get over it, and we make fun of his stature and his arthritic back, etc. But that's not really what's happening here. What's happening is that the public sees that Joe Biden has a malady, and that malady is a inclination to not offer the truth to the American people. Now, there's probably no greater malady than that. Everything else doesn't matter, I think, to me, or as a guy in the media. What matters is, are you leading us to the truth of things as our chief executive? And if you're not leading us to the truth of things, why not? And by the way, truth is not something that is amenable to a variety of viewpoints. I'm a believer in Aristotle. I think there are absolute truths. There are some things that are true, period. That's it. And you cannot verify or pretend that they aren't true. President Biden President Biden and all the folks around him in Congress, they believe that truth is situational. I don't.
Neither do I. In fact, I always stop people when they use the expression my truth. It's like there's no your truth or my truth. There's no our truth. There's the truth. And some things are black and white, And just look at the reaction to two different special counsels by the left. Jack Smith, who is committing crimes they love. Robert Hur, who's actually involved in a quest for truth. He's been very careful and sober in his analysis and in his investigation. He's being vilified by the left. So they can't claim to want the truth. They just want everybody to believe their truth. And I'm with you. There's only the truth.
Yeah, I think that you can't look at law, what we call lawfare now, right? The use of the legal system to create a warrior approach to Donald Trump and to basically to get in the way of his electability. That's really what it's all about. It's election interference. I don't see how any reasonable person could not see it that way. And say, well, that's the burden of truth. That's the burden of law. You know, once that all gets turned around and we walk away from what's really happening, then we're in 1984 and 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. 2 + 2 = 5. And I think that a lot of the American people are feeling that that's what's happening, that the basic arithmetic of America politics has been changed, and that what should sum up to an answer doesn't sum up to an answer anymore. And you know what? We're not that dumb. Most Americans can do simple arithmetic, but we know that 2 + 2 = 5, even though the Democrats in the Biden administration and American media are just want to try to convince us that our arithmetic computations are different than theirs.
Well, that's exactly right. We're going to have to leave it there, but I just want to point out that these people read 1984 and saw it as an instruction manual. A friend texted something earlier today and said, make it make sense, and I can't. The entire point is that it's not supposed to make sense. The Democrats don't believe that 2 + 2 = 5. They don't even care whether you believe it's equal to 5. They want you to embrace the fact that it's 5, even though you know in your heart it isn't 5. And that right there is why 1984 was such a terrifying book. Steve Cohen, can't thank you enough for your cogent analysis. And look forward to our next conversation right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hi, I'm Susan Lucci. I never thought about heart disease until I had my own heart event. At first, like so many other women out there, I ignored my symptoms. A slight pressure on my chest, shortness of breath. I thought, I don't have time to be sick. I had a 90% blockage in my main artery and a 75% blockage in the adjacent artery. I received 2 stents in my arteries. Stents developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Those stents saved my life. I'm so grateful to the American Heart Association. Their research helped save my life. I can enjoy life with my children, my grandchildren, and my friends. Please, listen to your heart. The only reason I'm here today is because I did. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear, but don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Boom.
This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McClain and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT.
All right, as we bust into the final segment of this week's State of the Nation, I'd like to welcome our friend, Bazed Lit Analyzer, back to State of the Nation. You can find him on YouTube under Bazed Lit Analyzer. Bazed, thanks for being with us on this lovely Friday. There's some unlovely news happening, though. Some unfortunate events happened just outside of Moscow right before we came on air today. And Timothy and I have been speaking with, we spoke with a journalist out of the Moscow area. And what we discovered is that a lot of the things that we're seeing on social media are untrustworthy. There's a lot of flack moving around right now. Claims of, you know, these people doing it, claims of arrests, videos being posted as current and breaking when they're actually not. So we don't know a whole lot yet, but we do know people were trapped in that building. Fires were set. People were shot in the front row, and a lot of people trying to escape, a lot of people injured. So have you seen any of this? What are your thoughts on what's been breaking today so far?
Yes, sir, and thank you for having me, guys. Yeah, I've seen a couple videos. You know, this is the type of thing that, honestly, I'm glad that I'm off Twitter right now because it's I think that when we see videos and news like this, people automatically, you know, our blood pressure goes up, we get amped up, and I think it's important to take a step back and just be objective and look at some of the signs of things. We don't know what it is, but certainly Gladio comes to mind right away when these things happen. From a couple of the videos, I automatically thought of the Mumbai event from a few years ago, and of course, Las Vegas, terrible things. But even when we see firsthand video, I don't know what to trust. You know, things can be manipulated. The events can be manipulated. Obviously, these things are geared towards amping up sides, and no matter what it is, it's obviously terrible. It's very bad, awful.
Yeah, we've already seen Ukrainian forces claiming that it was Russia's special forces that did it in a false flag attempt. We'll know whether that is just not letting a crisis go to waste, or whether it's analogous to a three-year-old with chocolate smeared all over his face saying, "Honest, mommy, I didn't have any cookies," before being asked, remains to be seen. But in warfare, truth is always the first casualty. And it looks like that's what's happening with this incident right now.
Yes, I did see right away that a state official from the United States claimed that, you know, they knew right away that there were no Ukrainians involved. I found that very odd. The event wasn't even over yet. Those are red flags. I mean, TrueStream Media, our friends over there, TrueStream Media, did a series a while back on events to look for markers of a false flag attack. And I always sort of go to those things when these big events happen. And when the media, you know, mainstream media swamps onto these things, it can be a red flag in itself. Obviously, we're facing, you know, multiple wars going on globally, and the propaganda war, the info war, the psy war is going very strong right now. So it would be great if it turned out that it was a simulation and all of this was being filmed for a Hollywood movie, but I don't think that's the case, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it looks like a lot of people lost their lives. And, you know, some of the footage that is current and fresh from inside of that theater makes it look like a pretty terrible place to have been trapped inside of, regardless of, you know, from whence it came. And you're right to bring up Gladio. You know, we talked about PatCon, and we talked about Operation Northwoods. So, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, we're looking at, you know, the track record of Ukrainian intelligence is not great. We'll put it that way. So there's, you know, they're trying to point out that Russia would do a false flag like this. And it's like, okay, I've read Seymour Hersh's work, and I followed along with the bouncing ball while the Nord Stream thing happened. That's exactly what they said about the Nord Stream sabotage and explosion, was that Russia did it to themselves. And I'm just, you know, with, you know, former Soviet Union, I'm not seeing just a history. It's a short history, but I'm not seeing a litany of false flag activities like I do with, you know, Western and NATO countries, particularly our own.
Yeah, or color revolutions, right? Yeah.
Right. Color revolutions, intelligence operations are notoriously, you know, Angleton called it a wilderness of mirrors. It's very difficult to penetrate. And the things that look a certain way on the surface are usually, there's a lot of subtext, and there's certainly subterfuge that's built into the thing. But just the fact that Gladio operations post-World War II existed, all of the stuff with Aldo Mori, all the things, even, you know, 50, 75 years ago, the fact that those existed, to me, means that they obviously still, this is the way that intelligence operations and paramilitary, wet works divisions, counterintelligence, they do, this is what they do. It's their sort of bread and butter. Now we live in the infinite scroll, 24/7 media, so we're we're aware of these things right away when they happen. But even so, we still, you know, there's so many things built it into it that we don't know whom to trust. We don't know what the side is. I saw one MSM outlet that said right away that it was a Russian dissident Muslim breakaway group. And I thought, is this like 25 years old? Is this what? It's just a playbook that, you know, they're throwing those page two. Let's see what they have to say about this. You know, it could be this thing. So I'm obviously it's something that is furthering the war. There's actual warfare. You know,
well, that's the first thing that occurred to me. Yeah, that's the first thing that occurred to me was the seizure of hostages at the Dubrovna theater in 2002 by Chechen separatists. But while that event was going on, we knew who was responsible. They had taken responsibility for it and they'd actually issued their demands. Right. So here we don't know. There has been apparently no group that has come forward to claim credit or to provide a rationale for this attack. Even though it initially, my mind went back to that attack on the Moscow theater by Chechen separatists, this one appears to be completely different.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even when groups claim credit, I did see there was one group that claimed credit, but of course it was like on their Facebook page, right?
It was also debunked, according to our journalists that reported. Right. Yeah.
Right. And the fact that this occurred in a theater also adds another meta level to this, you know, that we're going to look at and go, is what about this is theater? What's real? What's simulated? Is this a simulation that's gone live? We've seen those happen before. We've seen crisis actors, simulations gone live. The Moscow theater from 20 years ago, where the whole place was gassed with fentanyl, by the way, I didn't know that it was fentanyl that was used in that instance. I mean, they keep happening. I know that the State Department has been warning of, you know, events for the past couple weeks that these things were likely to happen. And of course, add to all that, that it's 3/22, right? It's one of the major Luminate confirmed days for these things to happen. That could all just be coincidence, but, you know, it sort of adds to it. So
there was I know a rabbit hole Hesher is going to be going down this weekend. It was actually at a theater, but it was for a musical concert by a group named Picnic. Now, I'd never heard of Picnic. You probably haven't either. But I think that we're going to be looking at a lot of information about Picnic and their songs and their band members over the weekend.
Well, you know what, Timothy? It's interesting you bring that up because this all feels somewhat familiar to me because of what happened in 2015 in France at the Bataclan. There was a large, terrorist force allegedly that attacked a venue where a band called the Eagles of Death Metal were playing. And I took that one. I took a great interest in that. Because I'm familiar with that band and some of the other things those members are doing. And I pulled on that thread for a long time. And I found a number of questionable things and relationships and different things going on. And let's also not forget when Victoria Nuland bugged out just recently, one of her parting words was, "Just wait, you have a surprise in store, Russia." I'm paraphrasing. But is this the surprise? You know, I don't know.
Not to mention the recent news, you know, with Russia and the seizing of assets, you know, Putin's warning to other countries, you know, seizing their assets. The war itself is going on. Recently, they've been using the word war, right? They've been avoiding that word for a long time, talking about conflict, but even now Russia is coming out and saying, yeah, this is a war. It's that term. That's what this is. Which seems like a small point. We already knew that was happening, but it's the language of war and the language of warfare and information war is obviously very important with this. I've been interested throughout the process of this Ukraine event about really how Russia has sort of been silent on one side in terms of the all-out propaganda blitz, right, that we've seen over the course of 2 years with Ukraine. There's an obvious contrast between the two. And whatever the designs and the stratagems are of this particular event, yeah, it reminded me of Bataclan, of Charlie Hebdo, of the Manchester bombing, right, with Ariana Grande, these things. I think this is 21st century warfare, simulated warfare gone live, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. Smacks of San Bernardino, like you said, Las Vegas, so many things. But this is in Russia. So it's going to be really interesting because we know what would happen if this was here in the United States. The feds would come in, they'd blank out all the information, they'd redact all the reports, they'd classify them all secret, and then the Mockingbird news media would tell us how to think about what happened based on what the CIA tells them to say. And then, of course, they'd be out there sprinkling conspiracy candy for people to gravitate towards and discredit themselves with. So is that going to be how Russia responds to this event? I highly doubt it.
Right. We'd be warned against, you know, backlash against the group that is blamed for causing the event. Right. So let's say it's a group of Tibetan, Buddhist separatists. Right. Well, we have to be warned against, we have to stop Asian hate. We can't, overreact as far as the Tibetan Buddhists are concerned. I'm using that as an example, but it always has this reactionary, very strange sort of inverted clown world effect where we forget about the actual event itself, and it's the backlash that's important. That happened with War on Terror, right? That went on for years with War on Terror.
Right. Right. And we saw so many theatrical events during that time period. My goodness. I mean, we could do an entire show cataloging all of those things. Well, I'm really glad we got to talk to you about this. This wasn't really our planned conversation today based, but, I really wanted to get your take on it. We got a few minutes left, though, and I know you've got some film and literature and cultural things that you wanted to bring up today. So where do you want to start us off?
Well, it's interesting and ironic, I guess, that the theater aspect of this segues into good news with theater, I think. Let's end on some good news here. Jake Gyllenhaal has just signed up to play Iago in a new Denzel Washington Othello Broadway production. That may seem totally irrelevant to a lot of people, but it's relevant to me in the sense that culture finds a way. We're seeing classical theater again. Denzel Washington has been working hard for years, putting on various Shakespeare productions that are impossible to see, by the way. You can't get tickets to see it. But if you can, it would be great. I love it when major Hollywood stars go into the theater. It shows that they're real actors. They're trying to sort of flex their theatrical muscles and do something classical. Especially with Othello and Denzel Washington. There's a bunch of other Hollywood news here. Of course, I've been covering Dune 2 for the last I've been going hard on Dune 2 for the last 2 weeks. So people should see that film. Yeah. I usually don't do this with movies, but I am with this one because I really think that this is a changing point in Hollywood. They've been going downhill so fast, so hard for years. And I see this as a turning point. This is good news. It's a great film. It's for adults. It's an adult film. It's the hero's journey. No more comic booky. I'm an adult, but I'm going to watch a child's movie. No more of that. This one is very good. There's meaning to it. In literary news, a random segue here, but in literary news, there's been big news recently about the publishing industry kind of falling apart, and it's obviously as a result of what we've seen over the past 4 years or so. When meaning and belief is replaced by ideology, culture and art are going to disintegrate. And that's really what's happening. It's falling apart. There's no money. There's no publication of anything that's unique or any kind of literary art. Everything is ideological and pushing a political point, and no one's buying. So it's good news and bad news.
Wow. Yeah, good news, bad news day there, Timothy. What do you think, man?
Well, particularly in publishing, but also in the theater and in Hollywood, it's funny how, and I'm somebody, I have a lifelong love of both the performing and the fine arts. And I had no problem with an all-minority casting of Hamilton. The problem I have is the outrage that would ensue if someone were to announce an all-Caucasian production of Porgy and Bess or of Roots. How come we can have it one way, but not the other way? And a lot of people are starting to see, look through that lens toward everything put out of Hollywood, toward everything put out of the book publishers, et cetera, and realize that double standard, that dichotomy, like, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. There's something wrong here. And I think more and more people are waking up and figuring out what exactly it is that's wrong with all that.
Yeah, babe, yeah, you got 1 minute left. Take us into the weekend, my friend. Leave us with some final thoughts.
I think those are great points, and what it boils down to is good and bad. There's good art and there's bad, and people have a gut feeling for this when they see it. It can be new and sort of revolutionary, but it only lasts so far. So please go to my YouTube channel, Bayes Lit Analyzer, if you're not subscribed. Probably going on later tonight. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate y'all. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Bayes. Great segment. Thanks for being here with us. We had a lot to cover today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sticking with TNT. And you should stick with TNT because the Jason Burmes Show is coming up next. You're not going to want to miss that. Timothy and I will be back next week, and we're looking forward to that. Have a great weekend. This is today's News Talk, TNT.